Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. As we'd like to do at the end of the podcast, we just want to answer some questions, kind of wrap up the podcast and get ready for a nice little long weekend here. Do you have any plans this weekend, Sal?
Yeah, a little Black Friday shopping. We're actually doing some cleaning of house cleaning, I guess, some winter cleaning, and then getting ready for the Christmas decorations. Max is super excited. He wants to do that. So doing a little bit of that as well. And I'm going to the Sabres game Friday night. They're wearing the reverse retros. I haven't seen them in person yet.
Wait, that's tonight.
Yeah, that's tonight. I said Friday.
Okay.
For people, because people listen to this on Saturday maybe, because we're recording. So, so Friday night, by the time people
you
hear
threw
this,
me
but,
off
yes, tonight. That's sorry about that.
You sneaky broadcasters, man.
I always have in mind when the listeners are listening, not when we're talking, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing that, and then you and I will be back. I think the Bills do have their normal Wednesday media day on Sunday this week. So everybody knows that's when we'll hear from Sean McDermott and players on Sunday this week.
I'm going to skip that practice because that is actually my 30th birthday. So I'm not going
to
go.
Thank
you. I appreciate it. So I'm not going to go.
By the way, I should have said, I can't go to my mom's birthday's on Saturday. And I should have said,
oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. So my mom, so we'll be hanging out with her on Saturday.
Okay. Beautiful. Well, I hope you have a nice holiday weekend and you get
a great birthday, man.
Thank you. You get lots of deals. All right. There's a lot of different questions here. We'll start with a couple football ones. This one is from Colton. He asked like four different questions. But I do want to point out two of them. One of them is Singletary going to get paid this offseason by the Bills with the stretch he's had? That's part one. And part two, do you think the Bills are blitzing more often to help the secondary and the DBs out? And it was something we kind of addressed. So I'll tackle Singletary. You can do the defense. I think they really like Devin Singletary. I think if there's a world where Devin Singletary is willing to take kind of a short-term team-friendly deal, then he will be back because they really like him. They always give him as much praise as they can. And I think they would like to kind of keep the same trio that they have of Singletary, of Cook, and of Hines. But if Devin Singletary is going to fetch a lot of offers, I do not see the Bills getting in a bidding war or like a term war with any other team with running backs, especially because they spent so many resources on James Cook and on Nyheim Hines. So I think they like Devin Singletary. They would also like to keep him, but only if it makes sense financially, because I do just not see this regime breaking the bank for a running back.
You're 100% right in all of that. And I'll even add this. It's going to help the fact that this is a very good free agent running back class. Lots of guys are going to get paid. So Devin Singletary isn't going to be like one of these guys where, oh, they need a running back. He's going to command top dollar. What are we looking at? Maybe $3-4 million a year if they could keep him around there. Maybe something like that would work. I'm not really sure. But I agree with everything you said, and I think it helps that there's a lot of other really good running backs that are going to get paid on the open market. I do think the Bills are blitzing a little bit more to help out their secondary, try to get to home a little bit quicker so they don't have to cover any longer. You're trying to get home with the front four all the time. It's kind of weird because that was the whole mantra, and that was what they did the first half of the year, which is front four, front four, front four, and they were doing a good job of getting pressure. So I don't know. It's just some different looks that they're trying, some different things they're trying. Maybe they're trying to do it now because they want to see what they can have going into the playoffs. But I do think part of the reason they're blitzing more is to maybe protect those corners on the outside from having to cover longer.
This is a question from John, and I love this question. It's, do you think excuse me, missing the extra point helped the Bills win the game yesterday. And I absolutely do. I absolutely do.
Go ahead. You describe it.
Well, we were sitting up in the press box and we've got our row and we're sitting all next to all of the different TV people that are there. And right after he missed it, we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, the likelihood of overtime just increased, but the likelihood that the Bills win in regulation also, well, not that they win in regulation, but it was just like the Lions
don't lose in regulation.
Don't lose in regulation. So Basically at that point, you know, the Lions are like a fourth down situation. Like the perfect example is the one that actually happened. They take the shot deep on third and one, and then they elect to kick the field goal. They're not doing that if they need to score a touchdown. They're being way more aggressive, and they're probably moving the ball down the field. And the way the Bills defense was playing, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they would have kept them out of the end zone. So I actually do think in a really weird roundabout way, it helped the Bills.
I agree with you 100%. I think that I tweeted actually about this late last night or early this morning, whatever it was. And I said the same thing. I think missing the extra point is obviously something you never want to see. And by the way, Tyler Bass had a great streak, the longest streak in the NFL, I think, of making extra points. That is gone now. So you never want to see that and it happen. But by doing it, it actually did exactly what you said. It brought into play Dan Campbell playing more conservative and not being aggressive to actually try and win the game. They didn't want to take risks other than that one play on third and one. And they left 23 seconds on the clock by doing that and having that incomplete pass and having the Bills get their opportunity. By the way, the same thing happened the other way around, essentially, against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings missed their extra point, remember, in the game against the Bills. It basically, you know, did the kind of the same thing where the teams had to play it a little bit differently. And I don't remember the exact circumstance, but I remember thinking the same thing, that it almost helped the Vikings that they missed that extra point against the Bills because of the way the two teams had to play the game going forward.
Yeah. Now there's a couple different questions here about Nyheim Hines. So we're just going to kind of merge them into one question and address Nyheim Hines. What have you thought about the Bills' usage of him? And do you think that it continues to grow?
I think at some point it has to grow it a little bit, but here's what I think, Matt, that it's clear now they didn't really trade for him to be a big part of the offense, but to be the punt and kick returner that they can, and he's done a really good job there, that they felt they needed more in that area. Now I wouldn't rule out, and I'd like to see, I like the idea of him getting more snaps, but let's take example of Thursday's game. Where would the snaps have come from? Devin Singletary was averaging 5 yards a carry. And Isaiah McKenzie in the slot had 96 yards receiving. So I like the idea. I think you have to think about, like, how does that fit in necessarily?
Yeah. I think that the workload should be increased offensively, but it's a very good point from you. I don't think it needs to be insane, but I think he should be getting, I don't know, 5 touches a game. Like, sure. I don't think that that's ridiculous to assume from the Bills. And I don't think that that's, you know, a laughable amount for somebody that you went and spent that on, especially because he does provide you with that really boosted production from the special teams role as a punt returner, as a kick returner. I mean, heck, the Lions wouldn't even kick to him yesterday on kickoffs, which is, you know, honestly, a sign of respect. And it's also kind of a win for the Bills because at least you're starting at the 25 every single time, which I think most teams would probably take. So I do think that Hines is eventually going to be more involved. I honestly think it's a little bit of a slow play thing. I think that the Bills are trying to save some of the stuff that they're working on with Hines until the games start to matter a little bit more and not show their hand. I kind of always felt like they were doing that last year at times with some of the stuff that they were working on. And I think they're probably trying to do that again, where you show these teams, okay, you know, Hines isn't really part of the offense. Well, then maybe you get to the playoffs and all of a sudden Nyheim Hines is out there catching screen pass. Well, they can't complete a screen pass for anything, but maybe he's out there like on the field way more than, you know, he had been up to that point. So I think that's something moving forward. All right. You want to end with a couple like more fun ones?
Sure, let's do that and we'll get out of here.
All right, so let me find them. Blah, 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 blah. All right, here's one from our good friend, Brother Bill. If you and Sal were both on The Masked Singer, which song would you sing and what would you dress up as?
Okay, so I don't really know how The Masked Singer actually works. I don't know these people in masks and they sing and people have to guess who it is or something. I've never watched an episode.
I guess it would be pick your karaoke song and what costume you would want, because I've also never watched The Masked Singer, but that's basically what I'm assuming it is.
I mean, I do. I'm not shy about karaoke. I do Sinatra and things like that. But in a situation like that, I think I might go to Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby, for my karaoke song, because that's like a rock. You want to get the crowd rocking in that show, right? I think that's what it's all about. So I want to do that. I don't know what I dress up as. That's a really good question. Maybe something from, I don't even know. Like, it's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to think about that, to be honest with you.
I think I would probably sing, this is pretty cliche for me, but I think I would sing Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus, because people love it and it's an easy song to sing and I know all the words. And I think I would dress up as, maybe like a moose or like a teddy bear, like a very very fun, welcoming kind of costume.
Yeah.
They really get the people going.
Yeah,
because you need to have something. You need to have like your face covered on the Masked Singer.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm saying you couldn't be like a cowboy or something.
I'd probably do I love dogs, like a dog. I'd maybe do some sort of dog.
We're so lame. We don't have.
I don't even know. All right,
This is the last one. This is from Steve. All right, he says, now that we have 3 Chick-fil-A locations, what is the next fast food chain that needs to come here? And I really like this question as an ender.
Do we have like Jack in the Box?
I don't believe
so. West Coast thing?
I don't believe there is Jack in the Box.
What is your answer? Because you're into this more than I am. What is your answer?
My answer is Shake Shack. I think Shake Shack is great. I originally thought that I was going to say In-N-Out Burger because I had more time to look at these, obviously. I was looking at the mentions. And
is there a White Castle?
White Castle is kind of gross, though. You like White Castle?
Okay. No, yeah. I don't know. I got one. Culver's. You know where Culver's is?
Yeah, I do know Culver's. Yeah.
Culver's is downtown. My parents really like it. I like it a lot. It's pretty good. I would say Culver's, and I don't think there's anything like that around here.
My 3 answers that I immediately went to were In-N-Out, were Shake Shack, and Raising Cane's. If
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, those are great.
But I think of those 3, my favorite pound for pound is Shake Shack. There's a lot of variety there. There's a bunch of great food. So every time we go to a place that has Shake Shack, I don't go all the time. I just think that it's like a really good spot. So, and I think actually they just redid the rest stops on the 90. And I think one of them has a Shake Shack now. I have no idea where it is. And I actually think one of them has a Chick-fil-A as well.
They're still redoing a lot of them, by the way. You go by some rest stops, you can't even go inside a couple of them.
I think I'm going to probably see those less than a week, because we're driving to New England, because we've got a bunch a lot of people. So like, that's kind of right at the cutoff of what I think is like drivable. I'm not a big I'm not a road trip guy. I am a get on a plane person. I think when you've got a lot of equipment and you've got multiple people coming, it makes a lot more sense to drive. But like 6 hours is like right around the time. I am not somebody who could just get in a car and go. I get very bored.
Wait till you have kids and, you know, you basically take road trips to go places and see people. And because it's more expensive to fly with more people, obviously. Right.
Yep.
And, then you're going to have to, you go to those rest stops, you go to those fast food places, you go for dinner. It just changes the game a little bit.
We went to
you. I'm the same way as you.
Yeah.
I'd rather, get on the plane, but you do those things come way more into consideration.
When I was a kid, my parents used to take my grandparents and my sister and I, so there were 6 of us, to Quebec City every year. We went every fall, and that's like a 10-hour drive. And I'm just sitting there, I think about this every once in a while, and I'm like, how the heck did they deal with that? I was like, how did they deal with like my grandmother and her bad like knee, like trying to get her in the car, and my sister and I complaining in the back. And then I think we once went to North Carolina. That's got to be a hike too. And I'm just thinking like, man, oof, God bless them. God bless the patience. All parents out there, bless you.
All right. Well, listen, we want to thank everybody for listening, downloading, subscribing. Please do so. Always do so. Leave a nice rating for us. It's always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio, WGR Sports Radio 550 is where you'll find me. Matt Bove, WKBW TV Channel 7 in Buffalo. And I guess we'll try and do another one before the Patriots game, which, by the way, will be on your television station.
Yeah. Coverage starts at 7:30. We got a pregame show. We got a bunch of fun stuff planned. And then I know it's going to be something a lot of people want to know. If you do not have Amazon, you can watch the game locally on Channel 7. So that's your lifeline. There you go.
All right. So we'll step on out of here and allow people to enjoy the rest of their Thanksgiving weekend. Please be safe on the roads out there. A lot of travel going on. Enjoy your holiday shopping. Enjoy family. Enjoy friends. And we'll talk to you next time on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.